The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. The AI assistant tells me the summary of my sermon today is love. Amen. A lot of time, ink, paper, scrolls, breath, and even blood has been spent, and I may even dare say wasted, on trying to define who or what God is. It is one of the most divisive issues throughout history as different groups have tried to come up with their own definition. And even among Christians, we can't seem to make up our mind. Now, we're a bit past St. Patrick's Day, although it kind of feels like a second St. Patrick's Day here in Wisconsin Dells. But every St. Patrick's Day, I like to bring up a silly little video cartoon of Patrick trying to explain the Trinity to these other little two Irish dudes that continue to tell him about how he's breaking just about every heresy as he's trying to define the Trinity. Like trying to define the Trinity using H2O in its three states, water, ice, and vapor, or using the sun in its plasma or heat and fire. And them going, "Oh, but that's modalism, Patrick." It's a funny joke if you've seen the... But it all goes to show how complicated it becomes when we begin talking about God sometimes. But why? Right? Why should it be? Why does it have to be? Because Scripture tells us who God is, who God always has been. In his first letter, the Apostle John writes in chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Now, beloved, if that is true, which I certainly hope many of you will agree with, then why do we let so much of the other stuff get in the way of what we believe? Because at the core, the same basic principle that God is indeed love is the same, right? Well, there's a little over 8 billion people here on this planet. And there's just about as many definitions of what it means to show one another love. For some, right, it means making sure everybody around them is cared for. Everybody. For some, love means ensuring that those who are near to them are cared for first. their family, their friends, right? For some, love means ensuring that those same people get the best possible future, no matter the risk, no matter the damage or harm to others. And what's tough, what's difficult for us as Christians, is that Scripture has been used to support all of these different kinds of love, all of these different definitions, even to the point of killing others for the sake of their definition for loving one another. So which one is right? Yesterday, Scott, Jane, and I point to Scott there, but Jane is somewhere there. Yeah, Jane there. Usually they're together, but not today. Along with a couple hundred other people, we're at Synod Assembly in Middleton. One of the resolutions that was proposed and adopted, I think nearly unanimously, I didn't see any red cards that were being waved, was for the Synod to further study and provide resources rejecting and against Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism, for those who don't know, is a movement that has gained more and more steam in recent years. It's a false idolatry that merges Christian and American identities, creating something new that is no longer Christian or patriotic. A movement that acts out of love. But love for those who act, look, and think only exactly like those who are part of the same group. This kind of love operates out of hate for one another or for the other. While people do and can make an argument for this kind of love out of Scripture, there are those who have also made arguments for slavery out of Scripture that aren't too far off from the same kind of argument. And folks, we have renegotiated our relationship with Scripture before, and we will do so again. And it is important that we continue to do so as we relate with a God who is in relationship with an ever-changing world. Now, during our discussion and debate, there was a young person, a high schooler, who went up to one of the microphones, very timid, and at first nobody could hear her because she was speaking so quietly. But she found her nerves and spoke to why this resolution was important to her from the view of a young person of faith. A young Christian. She explained that we have gotten to a point in our society that when other people find out that she is Christian, when she tells her friends that she is Christian, what they expect from her is not love, but hate. And at this, she started to tear up. She said, that's not the way it should be. And she seemingly pleaded with this room full of people, 200 plus people, most much, much older than herself. And she finished, that is why this is important. Beloved in Christ, Jesus tells us that the world will know us by our love. Not by that which we hang around our neck or our densely, theologically prophetic words, but by our love. And if God is indeed love, what Jesus is telling us that we will be known by our God who is always with us, who is to be our acting force in all that we do. And Jesus doesn't leave it up to a guessing game, but even tells us what this love is to look like. It's to look like the very love that he shared and will share upon the cross. It's the love that led him to just previously wash the disciples' feet, including that of Judas and Peter, who would betray and deny. And it's love that led him to the tree where he hangs, begging the Father for forgiveness, not for himself, but for a humanity. For he says, they do not know what they are doing. In this love that looks like Jesus' love, that is the very God that we worship as we gather, there is no room for hate. This is the kind of love that blots out hate and heals a broken world. This is the kind of love that we as followers of God are to be known by. This is the kind of love that is given for you.
In the beginning was love.
This love is yours.
And the love was God.
You are loved.
He was with God in the beginning. And the world was made through him.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
And so was I.
You are loved.
And the light was light.
Now and always.
And the light was the light of heaven.
And scripture tells us nothing can separate you from a love from a God such as this.
And the beauty would sing like a voice in the wilderness calling my name. And before I knew what love was in the beginning.
God is love and has been love since the beginning of time, and you are created in this love.
Was the song, and the song was with God, and the song was God. He was the voice in the beginning, and the stars would sing for him. And so will I. And there was light, and the light was the light of heaven. And there was goodness, and the goodness walked the earth. And there was beauty, and the beauty would sing like a voice in the wilderness calling my name. And before I knew what love was, love was in the beginning. The light shines in the dark, the dark is not overcome. The light shines in the dark, the dark is not overcoming. The light shines in the dark, the dark is not overcoming. The light shines in the dark is not overcoming.
Amen.